How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Catherine, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you.
This is going to be so fun. Okay, but first I have to know, how did you originally find me?
So I have a friend who is a professional organizer herself, and I hired her a few years ago to help me organize my home office, which was a total hot mess, total HMR qualifier. and she, just mentioned a few podcasts that she listens to, organizing podcasts. She mentioned yours. I listened to a few episodes, but I kind of at that point still thought like, I'm not this kind of person. I'm not the kind of person who succeeds at this. So at that point I was living in, my former house, here in Salt Lake City, and it was just really not an ideal house for us, and it was just kind of bugging me more and more, and there were just things about it that were just tricky and annoying for us, and I was just getting more and more irritated by that. And so I was just irritable all the time, and we had been looking for a house for a long time. And for some reason, I just got this energy, like, I need to just do something. Like, I was feeling like we were really, it was taking so long to find a house that we wanted. And I didn't like not having any more control over my situation. So I just wanted to do something that made me feel like I had control over my situation. And so I remember I was doing laundry one day, and I went back to the podcast, and I found, I was just scrolling through the episodes, just going to pick one that looked good. Mm-hmm. And I picked the one that was about why the magic art of tidying up doesn't work for American women. And I said, ooh, I want to listen to that one, because I had tried to read the book. Years before, and I did some of it, and I was doing the folding, like standing my clothes up on their edges and doing all that, but I didn't get through it, and it was just kind of another thing that I had tried and failed. And so when you were saying, you know, what you had to say about that, it rang so true, and it was so validating, and it just kind of occurred to me that I'm allowed to kind of do this my way, and I'm allowed to have things that don't work for me and other things that do work for me. And it's, you know, I don't have to just kind of follow this. Well, like I felt like previously my two options had been, I'll go all in with Marie Kondo and do everything, or I'm a failure again, or, you know, I couldn't do it again. And so there was just, something about the energy that I found in your voice and your message that, I've been following you ever since.
Oh, how fun is that? Well, that specific podcast episode, and when I titled it, I knew it would cause controversy.
Right.
And boy, does it. Like, almost all of the negative podcast reviews I have are from that episode of people that just search Marie Kondo and then listen to just that episode and then go on and leave negative book reviews or podcast reviews. And when you read them, I don't think they listen to the episode. Because I'm not negative about Marie Kondo at all.
Right.
Like, if you listen to the episode, I'm like, I think she did a lot of great things for decluttering and organizing. She's a decluttering specialist, you know, not an organizing specialist. She has a different point of view than I do. Right. And so at this point, you guys will have heard all of those point of view podcasts that I did in March about the point of view that I have, which is a middle-aged white American woman.
Right.
You know, she is a millennial Japanese woman. Like, you can't help it. Like, you were born where you were born, and you have that mindset. And so I agree with you. Like, a lot of times, and my way is not 100% right for people either. Like, you have to pull from all of these different resources and find out what works best for you in your phase of life with whatever organizational struggle you have. Now, I'm super interested. I've lived in the same house for 24 years, and And like, I think about building a house and I'm like, well, you know, technically we don't have to move. Gray and I are like, no, this house is fine. Like, I guess we'll just stay in this house is fine. So can you like, can you share what wasn't working in your house? And did you find a new house? And how did you do that?
Yeah. So
that intrigues me to just move, like not because of a job or something.
Well, right. Okay. So my husband and I have been married for 14 years and he is in medicine. And so we got married the summer after his first year in medical school. Okay. And so there's so much transition and he did every phase of his school and training and residency in different cities. I've lived in many different cities across the country. And so we've literally been in transition our whole marriage. And when we first moved here, we live in Salt Lake City now, that was for his job, for his kind of for the long haul, presumably job. But when we moved here, he was still just kind of a poor trainee.
Yeah.
So we bought a house when we moved here, but it was not a forever home. Okay. It's really interesting here. For some reason, most of the homes are kind of ramblers, like they're, you know, main level living and then bedrooms downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Very, very hard to find. I mean, I grew up on the East Coast in North Carolina and we have living on the main floor and bedrooms upstairs.
Yes.
And that's just how I always grew up. It felt very normal to me. And so coming here, I'm like, why does everybody sleep in the basement?
Right.
Why do we have to do that? And my kids were young at the time. My little guy was, gosh, he was like 7 months old when we moved into that house. And my daughter was, I think, four. And they are five, I don't remember. But they, you know, I didn't like the idea of putting them in the basement. But really, there was no, I mean, we came here for one weekend. We looked at like 10 houses and literally none of them had what, you know, the layout that I wanted.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, oh, I guess that's just what people do here. We'll get used to it. We never got used to it. It bugged me to death all the time. So, you know, our bedroom, our master bedroom was on the main floor. They were in the basement. The laundry was in the basement. I mean, there were just things about it that just felt difficult, like just really inconvenient. And it got like the kids didn't have, like their bedrooms were downstairs. They didn't have a bathtub downstairs. Mm. They had to come up.
So was your bedroom on the first floor?
Yeah. Our bedroom was on the first floor.
Oh.
So the kids had to come up and take their baths in the master bedroom because that was the only place we had a bathtub. If we didn't remember to bring clothes upstairs for them, they take a bath, like they're walking through the house.
Okay. This makes a lot of sense.
You know, like it's pain. So that's kind of, we were hoping to get, but we looked for a house for a year plus, more than a year. And we finally, I was like giving up on the idea of finding my dream home, but we did find it. I mean, I love my home so much now.
That is so cool. So I know that when we bought our house, we didn't have any children yet. It was a couple years before we had children. And this was the perfect layout of the house that I wanted to have raising children. And we have raised our children here and now they are, and still it's a great house. I mean, Abby has 1,000 square feet. They're finished in the basement with a walkout. Like it's still an excellent house. There are a couple of things I would change. Like there is no home office. I would like a home office. If Joey chooses to come back from college, I'm not really sure where we'll put an adult child. So the funny thing is, Catherine, we're thinking about building a rambler, apparently. Because I'm thinking about building like a ranch-style house where I would have a master bedroom suite upstairs, laundry upstairs, my home office would be upstairs, and then literally putting the kids in the basement. But they're, you know, like a traditional rambler, a more modern rambler in that the kids would basically have condos in the basement with their own kitchen and their own washer dryer. Like it basically would be, we're building an apartment complex, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about the people who live in your home with you.
So it's my husband and I, and our two kids who are now, my daughter's 10 and my little boy is 6, and we have a 5-year-old golden retriever.
Aw.
And we are bringing home a brand new puppy in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like brand, I mean, he's coming in 2 weeks when, like, he won't be ready to leave the litter until then. So yeah, cute and
a lot of work.
I have some mixed feelings about it. We want two dogs ultimately. And I you know, I can't get around like having to actually get the dog in order to have the dog. So
yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, so 2 weeks from now at the time of recording, so this will be like the beginning of March. So the puppy will be like potty trained and all that by July.
That I mean, sure. I hope so.
let's go with that. How about if we just go with that? All right. So tell us, so you were looking for this dream house when you found the podcast. Do you remember what time of year it was or what you did first?
Yeah. So I didn't, I really just started listening, at that time. And then we found the house, in the summer. So, we closed on the house in July, and I like to say I was in three different golden windows. So we moved into the house in August, and so I, you know, had my new house.
Yep.
My youngest was starting all day kindergarten.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm 40. Like I'm 41 now.
Oh my gosh! And it was so, the fall.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it was just like huge opportunity.
Wow.
And it felt so good. And I don't know. I can't remember what it was that I was listening to, but I basically just got to this point where I'm like, I'm just take all my money. I'm in this. We're going to do this.
So as you were doing that and you started going through the house, what was it like? Because you had hired a professional organizer before. So what was it like doing it yourself this time?
I think it was good just because, I think I heard you maybe say this on a podcast at one point along the way. The biggest shift for me, like when I hired somebody, I was hiring somebody for my little office space. It was not for the whole house. Because I've spent years just irritated with my family that they won't get on board and help me.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest shift for me was like, they're not going to get on board.
Yeah, right.
I can't wait for them to join me.
Right.
And just like be irritable and mad until that happens, because I will be irritable and mad until I die.
Yeah.
So just that shift of like, I'm going to do this because I want to do this and I need to do this. And maybe they'll get on board, and maybe they won't.
Yeah.
But I kind of just need to take this into my own hands for my own sake.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, the bigger shift for me, just kind of taking ownership and owning the space and owning kind of my attitude about it. So that was, I think, a difference between, you know, working with somebody else. Because she was great. I mean, but she...
Yeah.
Told me what to do and I did it and didn't maintain it. And it was just like, okay, well.
And do you think if you had her back now, knowing what you know now, that it would just propel you forward faster and you would be able to maintain it now that you've learned the skills?
Potentially. I mean, I think, I'm focusing so much more on my kind of main living space now rather than my office essentially was a hot mess room and it,
yeah.
Kind of still is. It's behind me here right now, I think even then what didn't work for me was like, I just need to kind of do this over here. Like my family lives out there and there's no way we're going to make that better.
I see.
So yeah, I mean, I think certainly if she came along, she actually has closed her business now, but, if she came along, I think just focusing on the whole space and the whole kind of function of the home, as opposed to just this little corner where I go sometimes, would make the difference for sure.
Yeah. So when was the first time that you noticed something was organized that had not been organized before?
The main kind of success that I've had, I mean, I'm in my second round. So I've only gone through the program once, and that time in the fall, I really only got through the kitchen. And so
everyone hear that? She only got the, I'm not lying. We know that you're only going to get through the kitchen and possibly the master bedroom suite. And look how happy she is.
I'm so happy. And I love that you say that. Like, I love it. I mean, I'm like kind of in it for the long haul. It's not about success or failure. It's just like, this is the mindset that I'm in now. Mm-hmm. But my kitchen is humming. Like it works. And when I realized that was the case, was not so much when I kind of got it like decluttered and sort of organized the first time, because I had done that before. Mm-hmm. I had done that in my old house, but it just always fell apart again. And so what I really noticed was, again, not when things were kind of put away that first time, but when I could kind of maintain it and when I could look at the space and not just be undone by it. Like I would look at, like, I remember I used to look at those spaces and just be like, I don't even know what to do here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I can, even if it does, because life happens, like I've got kids who are busy. My husband works all the time. And it's, you know, things fall apart and that would happen, but I can look at it and just like, I know what to do and I can go and like, I can put the things away and I know where they go. And like, I don't have that decision fatigue that you talk about. And it's just like, so it's not just the way that I look at my space, but how I look at myself. And I'm like, it's really funny. I actually, my problem now is kind of the opposite problem that I used to have, because I used to go in and look at the clutter and just be like, oh, I can't do it. Like I can't, I'm not capable. I'm not equal to the task. I'm just going to stick my head in the sand and ignore this.
Yes.
Now I'll walk in and I'll see the clutter and be like, oh, I got this. I don't have to do that now. I can do that later.
That's so true. Okay. That is me in my kitchen, because I have these, you know, a quote unquote adult children, and they make these messes and everything. And so Greg and I were down there last night, and Abby was, I don't know where she was, out with her friends, and he was making dinner and I was folding laundry and doing mail, and I emptied the dishwasher and I cleaned up the kitchen, and the kitchen looked amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, the kitchen looks amazing. I'm like, Greg, I'm so sorry. I don't know. You know, like it only takes me 15 minutes to do this, but I hardly ever do it. And I said, to be honest, it's because it's going to get undone within minutes. As soon as Abby comes home, like every single thing is going to get left out, dishes here. So what's the point? Like, why even bother? So I do it like twice a week. And he looks at me, he goes, totally get it. Totally understand. And so we stood in the eating area. And if you had turned to the family room, there are floors, backpacks, you know, all of Abby's stuff. And if you turn back to the kitchen, it looks like a model home. And we just stood there and held each other for a minute and looked at our gloriously clean kitchen. Aww. And then went upstairs and watched TV. But he and I both were like, we know how to do this. We know we can do this. If his mom is coming over, we do it instantaneously. It takes 15 minutes max. But it almost never looks that way because our house is lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I totally empathize with you that we can get it looking that way, but doesn't necessarily look that way all the time.
Right.
But it is peace of mind just knowing that, oh yeah, that could be done in 15 minutes when it needs to be.
Well, and that's where like the biggest shift for me is just like you talk about mindset all the time. Like it's just in my own mind. Like I used to look at my space and just feel despair.
Yes.
And now I look at it and it's like, I've got this. Like
you're in control.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Okay. So what has happened since you started on this journey of organizing that you did not expect to happen?
Oh my gosh. The biggest thing, I mean, this is like completely shocking. I have a laundry day.
Yeah.
Like I was the biggest skeptic about laundry day. I'm like, there's no way I could spend an entire day doing laundry. There's gotta be a way to do a load of laundry every day. Like I could, maybe if I started at night and then I put it in the dryer first thing in the morning, like I've tried all the different daily laundry schedules and it just, but then, I was actually listening to, so I also kind of dabble with a Slob Comes Clean podcast. Yep. And she talks about laundry day, and I relate to kind of how she talks about, like, she's like she's a mess. Like she's super cluttered and messy and a slob. But the way she talked about laundry day, I was like, I started that chapter of her book and I was like, nope, never going to do that.
Yeah.
By the time I finished that chapter of her book, I was like, okay, so which day should laundry day be?
Today's so what'd Wednesday. You pick?
Wednesday's good. Like it was that day. As I was listening, and I have done laundry on Wednesday every single day since then. And I love it.
I was going to say, do you dread it or love it? You love
it. No, I love it.
I mean, know.
It is the weirdest thing. I hate laundry. But on laundry day, I'm like, I'm gonna show this laundry who's boss. I'm sure that the novelty will wear off. I've been doing this for about 5 weeks now.
I don't think so.
But I mean, I feel like the high that I get, this is kind of pathetic, I guess, but the high that I get from just that feeling of like, I've got this. I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be yelled at by my laundry. It used to just yell at me all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't like, I show that laundry who's in charge.
I think my kids are probably about the same age as yours when I started doing laundry day. Once they're in school all day, see, when they're home, if you're home or if you work from home or if you have a part-time schedule, you can keep up with that doing laundry once a day or even a couple times a week because you're home anyway. You're making a snack. You're doing this. You're changing a diaper. Fine. Change a load of laundry. But once they're in school all day, then you're eating into your time if you decide to do laundry every day. So I did also one day for laundry, and that was like my domestic day, and I would do laundry and I would do the dishes and I would do the cleaning, and like I would listen to all the audiobooks, and there weren't podcasts back then because I'm so old, but you get the idea. Now I would do podcasts, and like in the school years, that was awesome. I would go to the grocery store, I'd come back, I'd do all the meal planning, and it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday was way better for me than a Friday through a Monday, like that middle of the week time really worked for me as well.
And it like gives me such a boost to I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of focused on that for the one day and then it's done.
Yes. Right.
I've never, literally never experienced laundry being done.
Yes.
Like everything that was on our body until this morning.
Yes.
Is now clean and put away. And we've got the, like it's, and then you just start over. Like I just, it was the craziest thing to experience. So the not expected thing, that is the biggest one for me.
And so for people who are listening, they're like, okay, I want to try laundry day. Here's what went wrong for me when I did laundry day in the beginning. We didn't have enough clothes to get us through an entire week. So I had to go out and buy more underwear. I had to buy more socks for many of the family members and a couple more pairs of pants for the kids in order for laundry day to work. We had plenty of tops. We had plenty of sweatshirts. We had all that. But we would run out of socks, underwear, and Joey would run out of pants. And so I went ahead and invested in that. And then we had enough to get through a whole 7 days so that I could truly just do laundry once a week. Did you have to do that for anyone?
You know, it was really okay because I'm trying to think when I first decided on that one Wednesday that I was literally just listening to, and I just decided like right there in the moment, like today's laundry day. I had done a load because I was the worst. My kids would wake up for school and just not have anything sometimes. But I happened to have done a load like a few days prior. And so even the way that she talks about it on the other podcast, she says, you know, the first time you do laundry day, you're gonna hate me because it might actually take you all week and you'll get to laundry day next week and you will have just finished the laundry day from the previous week. She was talking about it takes a few cycles, but really, and I mean, I only have two kids, like I don't have six kids.
Yeah.
My husband actually does his own laundry. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that much for us. Like it's just my stuff and my two kiddos. And so actually it really, from that very first day, I think I had to do one dryer load the next morning and put that away. But at that point it was done. So really, I mean, it took off for me immediately.
Yeah. And the organized 365 way of doing that would be to take all of your current laundry to the laundromat and pay one time to have either do it all at the laundromat and do it yourself or pay to have them do it at the laundromat so that you could truly be done and then start fresh. Because I find as a teacher, as a parent, and as your organizational coach, the number one thing that holds us back is being so overwhelmed with starting. And so if you're so overwhelmed with starting that it's going to take you a month and a half to get past your backlog of laundry, then skip a bit and pay $80 and get somebody else to do it all and start tomorrow, just like I would do with my kids and go in and organize their bedrooms for them to get them back to a place where they could maintain it. I know that when I did professional organization, when we would be in houses that were overwhelmed with laundry, we would, you know, okay, we're going to do this. You go start a load of laundry. And I would set a timer on my phone, and every 45 minutes, I would send the homeowner back to keep moving their laundry through. And then at the end, Carol and I would sit there and we would fold it all with them in 15 minutes before we left. And then not only did we get the house organized, but they got all that laundry done as well. Because when your laundry gets backed up as a homeowner, you feel like a child does when their bedroom gets messier than they can organize it again.
Oh yeah. So true. Mm-hmm. And actually awesome. That's a really good illustration of like, to empathize with my kids when their rooms get out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you cannot, I mean, once it's gone past the point of no return, like they just need some help. Mm-hmm. So we need help. They need help. You know me, I'm always going to be like, drop it off at the dry cleaner. It's my phase of life. I mean, I'm 47. When I was 27, I would have spent the 3 days and ordered in a pizza for $10 and done all the laundry myself. But at this phase of life, I'll be like, no, I'd rather eat better food and have somebody else do the laundry.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you get to be old. It's nice.
I love it. Solutions, yeah. Finding solutions. Don't
yeah. Because we do, we get so stuck in our house and we keep looking at the same problem and thinking there's only one solution. And that's why we get stuck, is because we don't like the one solution that we have. So then we just sit there for months and years and sometimes decades. And then we're like, oh, are you kidding me? I could have solved this entire problem with $80. I had no idea that's all it would take for somebody else to get me back up to date on all of my laundry.
Well, and that's another thing about, I think, going through all of this. And just the way that you talk about it, I mean, and what I notice again about my own mindset shift is that I'm like, I notice when, like, I mean, I refer back to all these different podcasts, like the whole, what are you tolerating?
Yeah.
Thing, like that really resonated with me. And I notice my brain, like if I'm tolerating something or if something's not working well, I used to just like kind of grumble about it and not even really be conscious, but just kind of, it doesn't really work. And so it doesn't really get done and it's not efficient and all this stuff. Yeah. But now I notice right away if something doesn't work well, or if I don't like how something is working, and I'll start thinking like, how can I tweak this, or how can I do this differently? Like, I've never been in the habit of doing that before. And it's that whole, just like taking it back.
That's so cool. Oh, that is so cool. So what do you have more of now?
Oh gosh. What do I have more of now? Just, I have, mental clarity. Yeah. I feel more peaceful with my family. I'm nicer to them.
That could be the tagline of this podcast. I'm nicer to them. It's true, right? Like, I'm nicer to my kids too. Like,
oh my gosh. Like, I used to just get so mad.
Yep.
And like, blame it on them. Like, blame everything on them. I mean, it kind of is their fault. Right.
But it doesn't get me anywhere. So now I'm mad.
It doesn't get me anywhere to just sit and, you know, being ticked off all the time. But yeah, I just feel like, I mean, and I've always thought about this because, you know, we talk about having more time. And I don't necessarily feel like I have more time physically, but I do, I have just more space in my time. Mm-hmm. Because before, like if you have, you know, an hour of free time before you have to pick up the kids or whatever, mm-hmm. I would either spend that time just fretting about all the things that I need to do and haven't done. And, all the reasons that I can't even do those things that I need to do, cause I've got these other things that I need to do. And I just, you're so, it's just, there's so much mental clutter in that space. Whereas now that same amount of time, I'm able to just kind of be in it and mm-hmm. decide what I want to do with it. You know, if I want to sit down and read a book, or if I want to, you know, check some things off the, you know, what I need to do for the week, like I can do those things, but I'm just so much more calm in mm-hmm. that space.
And in control.
Yes.
Yeah. In control of how you spend that time.
Right.
You spend it, you just get to choose how it's being
right.
spent.
It's like, I don't have to be so reactive, mm-hmm. or reactive versus proactive. And it's really, I mean, that's such a radical shift to make.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite one because I've always lived my life, even when I was a kid, proactively. And so when I ended up living a reactive life, it was like doubly hard because I knew there was another way to do it. Whereas I think a lot of people live a reactive life and they don't have that articulated to them, or they haven't even thought about it that way. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you're like, oh man, I cannot believe life is happening to me.
Well, and it's this, that same kind of thing. Like as life happens, like even now, like when things start to kind of drift back in that direction and I notice mm-hmm. when I'm like getting back into that reactive mode and I'm like, okay, I need to kind of hit the reset button and again, yes. take it back.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yes, totally. So what do you have less of now?
Decision fatigue. That was a big one for me. That whole, just like that mental clutter. I doubt myself less.
Mm.
Like I used to think that I just wasn't a person who was capable of kind of living, you know, kind of a more peaceful, proactive, life at home. But I don't doubt myself about that anymore. And I don't feel broken. In that way.
Yeah. So many women that I met when we were professionally organizing felt bad because I was helping them get organized because they should know how to do this because there's something wrong with them that they couldn't just organize their house on their own. And yeah. I hated that for them.
Yeah.
Because there was
about that.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's what I'm going to fix. That's what I'm going to change. Women feeling like they should just intuitively know how to do this on their own or they're broken. I hate that. I mean, I know it's a fact. I just don't like it. So I'm glad to hear that it has changed for you.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I think that decision fatigue, I hadn't really thought about this before, but when you were talking about the kitchen earlier, about how you could see what needs to be done in the kitchen and whether you do it or not, it doesn't cause you that stress, I was thinking to myself, it's because all the rules have been put in place. Like when you go in the kitchen and you are going to clean it up, you don't have to decide where's this going to go and decide if we need this and decide. It's just like, oh, this goes here, this goes here. All the decisions have already been made. You're just following the rules that you took the time to put in place for yourself. So it doesn't cause any decision fatigue. It might be physically fatiguing to wash all the dishes and put everything away, but you're not deciding also if it should stay, if it should go, where it should go, why it's out, where it came from.
Yeah, I think the decision fatigue episode is my favorite. I remember when I first listened to that, I was making dinner and I literally, I think, started it over from the beginning when it was over. And so you taught like the whole rules, habits, yes. rules thing.
Yes.
Great. I love that. But the thing I love most about that, and like when I, you know, I have your voice in my ear, whether it's like in my ear or just like in my head, is the whole decision fatigue part of, you know, when you're feeling kind of bullied by, you know, buyer's remorse or mm-hmm. Decluttering guilt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like that your stuff is just bullying you and you just say, thank yes. you very much. Thank you very much. Like, that's one of my favorite things. I love that so much.
Yeah. Just acknowledge it and move on.
Will you say it for me? Say it for me right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We put so much stress on ourselves. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, the stress that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think just as overflow on our kids, and they are feeling it in society. Like the stress that is being put on our children is so high that the anxiety, social anxiety, performance anxiety, all the anxieties are through the roof because of the expectation of perfection. And the only way to turn this off is to give ourselves grace and to give our family grace and to be nicer and just take down that heightened level of performance that is everywhere, especially in America. I know it's everywhere, but in America, oh my goodness, you're like performance junkies.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing something, I should be doing something while I'm doing it, and something should be waiting for me while I am doing that. Like
when it's never enough.
Yeah, it's never enough and it's never done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the curse of being an American. What do you wish you had known sooner?
I think probably one thing is like I was saying, that my family's not going to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to have to just be me, and that I'm wasting my own time and sanity just kind of being grumpy that they're not, that I can't just convince them
mm-hmm.
to join me in this effort and do it together.
And have they at all?
I mean, I think they certainly feel the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm having to, I love the way that you talk about your family and your kids and how I have to tell them 25 times that this isn't where the olive oil goes anymore. I've got a bin in there and it's got oils on, on the label. Like that's where it goes. Thank you for putting it away, but that's where it goes. Yeah. And you know, it's just, but I think there's enough lightness that I've kind of gained throughout all mm-hmm. of this that I'm usually able to just kind of chuckle and move the olive oil, and you know, not like it doesn't really just totally undo me when they're, you know, just kind of not fully adhering to all of the new guidelines.
Yeah, totally. So what is your next step?
I've got a lot of next steps. I want to get my binders in order. I need to get my workbox. I've got an entrepreneur workbox. I have a business. So I want to kind of get that up and running. There was something else, but I can't remember what it is now. Just all the things. But I mean, yeah, like it's a lovely feeling to just kind of not feel like, I feel excitement, but not urgency.
Yes.
Oh, a hot mess room. That's what I was going to do. I was going to go back through, because I've been listening to the hot mess room episodes, and I have some hot mess room situations around here that I'd like to take care of. So that's another one, but it's kind of it's that whole taking back of your time. Like I kind of get excited. Like, what do I want to do next?
Yeah. You get to pick, you could do the hot mess room or your business or like whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah. That's so fun. I mean, it is so fun to be able to choose how you use your time.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
I think good advice would be to just pick something and, mm-hmm. and to feel encouraged that doing kind of any one thing is going to energize the next thing. Like I used to look at, talking about like looking at a cluttered room and doing like trash food and broken items. Like it's amazing what a difference it can make to just pick up trash in a room, like just doing mm-hmm. like pick one thing that you can do. And then each kind of step energizes the next step.
Yep.
But even if it doesn't, you've done one thing. Like, I don't know, just, I think celebrate those small wins, and let them kind of build on each other, I guess.
Yeah, the success and the momentum from whatever you do leads to the next success and the momentum. So it does not have to be prescriptive that you have to do this and then this and then this. So as we're recording this in February, you'll be listening to this in April. And a lot of people I'm talking to in February, I know you don't want to do a big, huge clean out right now. Like that is not the energy of February. So follow the energy. If you're getting the Organized 365 Friday newsletter, we have right at the top what the energy is, which kind of focuses you in so that you can be like, oh, okay. So the February energy is details, like little details. So it's okay that I want to organize all my scrapbook paper. Like that's totally normal in February. You're not going to want to do that in June. So following whatever your natural energy of organizing is, if you just keep going, you will get done eventually.
Well, and I think kind of implicit in that message is just to kind of give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever energy you're feeling or not feeling around it, it's okay. This is a long game kind of effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you talked about this in your live on last week, like in February, like I've just been kind of like not super motivated to be doing a lot of stuff in February but it's okay. Like I don't have to stop. Like I can just do more next month or whatever.
It's a good thing February is a short month.
Right.
It definitely is like of the productivity months, it's probably the worst of the productivity months. But there's always stuff you can do.
That, you know, you'll have seasons like that, and it doesn't mean any huge thing about how you just can't do this or it's not going to work for you. Or, you know, this is a kind of across your whole life trajectory and effort. And there are going to be times that you have less energy around it, and there are going to be times when things pile up on the counter. But it's just what you can do along the way. And, you know, it's that shift in the mindset, like you always say.
Yeah. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I love talking to you.
Thank you.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.